It's 6:39 as we begin this next segment of your favorite program. If you're trying to get to work, we're going to help you. You're thinking to yourself, I have all these issues. I have all these questions. Who can I turn to and get all of the answers?
And you're using us.
Exactly.
How pathetic is your life?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, what?
Go get the listener email bag.
We've got email from you.
Play some music.
There's lots of mail indeed. We've got email from you.
Answer your phone.
There's some we cannot read.
You stupid bunch of...
Some say our show should be admired. And others say we should die in a fire. We've got email from you. We've got email from you.
Alrighty, let's not waste any more time. The first letter comes to us from Paula. Paula is 50 years old and writes to us about her 16-year-old son wanting to go on a spring break cruise with his new girlfriend. She says, "Gentlemen, my 16-year-old son is in junior high school. He's got his first serious girlfriend. They've been dating for a few months or so. She just invited him to go on a spring break Mexican vacation with her family.
Oh.
I said no. He's too young to go on a vacation with a girl, even if there will be parents there. My husband thinks I'm being too strict. Okay, it's up to you guys." Wow. Thank you, Paula. "Should I let my 16-year-old son go on a spring break vacation with his girlfriend and her family?"
Well, I thought you were going to say they were going by themselves. I would have said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
If the family's going, I say, yeah, that's okay.
If it was just the two of them, the answer is not just no, but hell no.
But family's involved, sure.
I'll tell you this.
No.
What do you mean no?
No.
Let me share with you what happened to me. When I was a little younger than this, I went on a vacation by myself. It was a school group. But nobody else in my school went on this particular trip. I met up with a group of other students and chaperones at JFK Airport in New York City.
Uh-huh.
We flew to Italy and then to Greece.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Greece, then Italy. Italy was a memorable time.
Yes.
How old were you at the time?
14.
Mm-hmm.
And...
See? You're the reason why my answer is no.
Yeah. It was a memorable trip. Let me just put it to you that way.
Yeah, but the chaperones probably weren't paying attention to you very, very closely.
Oh, no. The reason the chaperones weren't paying attention is because...
They were involved fooling around. And...
No. I was befriended by the hotel owner's wife. I didn't want to eat the regular breakfast that they were serving, so I wandered into the bar area, and she gave me rolls with cream cheese and jelly and cappuccino, and it was great.
Right, right.
And then offered to take me sightseeing after the tour came
back. The bar owner's wife.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
It's Italy, I suppose. So those things are, you know, kind of happen over there, huh?
That's interesting when you're sitting on the roof of the hotel overlooking Rome, sharing a bottle of wine with...
At 14!
Yep.
Okay. Now you've completely convinced Chris to never let his kids out of the house,
and so,
much less out of the country.
Paula, listen, 16 years old, I don't care if the parents are there.
Make this deal with the girl's parents.
Yeah.
Any child support payments, whatever that arrives for them, are all on you, okay? That's fine.
A legal agreement saying, Paul, listen, here's the thing. If something's going on, it's going to go on in Mexico just like it's going on here. But I would lend myself to say no as well. And I got news for you. If it was my daughter that was asked to go on a vacation with her boyfriend's family, oh, there wouldn't even be a discussion. The answer is no.
Oh, you guys are going to have fun when these decisions actually have to be made in a few years.
I'm not saying I'm not being a hypocrite, but I'm just saying I know, and especially Mexico. All right, the next letter comes to us from Leslie. Leslie's 27. She says, my boyfriend and I just moved in together after dating for a year. He really wants to get a dog. I want a dog, too, but I'm not sure if we're ready for that. It's a big commitment. We've never even talked about getting engaged. Two of my good friends got a dog together, but they had a falling out and ended up arguing in court over who gets the dog. Well, Leslie, there's your answer right there. Don't do it.
Look, there's nothing else that ties that relationship together, and don't think that an animal just complicates things.
And I got news for you. Listen, if you want to go off on a date night or a weekend or something like that, you got the dog. You got to have the dog taken care of. You either got to kennel it. You got to have somebody come over and take care. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it at all.
Would you buy a house with that person?
Me personally?
No.
For her, Leslie, that's a really good question. Would you? No, you should not.
Well, then you shouldn't buy a dog either.
Absolutely.
Would you share the cost of a new car or a new truck?
And there are people that do this, and I don't understand this. This, it makes no sense whatsoever. If they are not willing to make the commitment to marriage, what makes you think they're going to commit to anything else?
Right. Those are things you do when you are in a committed relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I realize Tom's being quiet because he just doesn't agree with us at all.
Tom wants to let his 14-year-old daughter buy a car.
I'm just suggesting that you do not have to have a piece of paper to be in a committed relationship. That's proven every day in this country. There are thousands, if not millions, of people who live without the piece of paper.
Thank you, Captain Morality.
Well, I'm just saying.
Grady, 34 years old, writes to us and says, after my wife and I got married, she promised me she was going to change her last name. Oh, boy. It's been about 2 years. Nada. Nothing. She still hasn't changed her last name, and it looks like she has no plans to change it anytime soon. How are those pants fitting, Grady? Whenever I bring it up to her, she says it's on her list of things to do, and she just hasn't done it yet.
So the lion is continuing.
Is it bad that my wife hasn't taken my name after 2 years of marriage?
No, it's bad that she lied to you about it.
Yeah, that's the core. Grady, she's lying. She has no intention of taking your last name. I it's a hassle. And ladies, I understand why it's something you don't want to do.
The last vestige of a male-dominated society.
Hey, Grady, is this the first time she's had to go through this, if you know what I'm saying? You got to change your birth certificate? No, you don't change your birth certificate, but you got to change your driver's license. You got to change your Social Security issues. Everything's got to be changed, but if she said she was going to do it and she hadn't done it.
You know what? For me, the name change is not a deal breaker. I can see, if the woman is established professionally and she's known as Mrs. Smith, I can see that career-wise it's confusing if suddenly she's Mrs. Green. I got that.
Like if she's in the public eye, news or television or film or something like that.
I've known radio people, women who've changed their names out of loyalty to their husband. It's hurt their ratings. It's hurt their careers.
Okay.
Because you spend 10 years in front of a camera, for instance, and you're known as Mrs. Smith.
Right, let me ask you this, just to be the fly in the ointment here.
You?
Why, and I'd have to look this up because I don't know the answer, why was it decided at some point in history that the woman would change her name in a marriage and the man would not change his? Or why was it this?
Would you like a man to change his?
Well, there have been men that have done that.
Not real men.
Please. I mean, I understand it's probably because it was a male-dominated society and they made the rules, but...
Okay. Predominantly, I'm going to hypothesize, if that's a real word, that property... for the longest time was handled
and wives were considered property at one point in time.
And it changed names from the men to the men in the family and so forth. And the women did not receive property, were not able to buy and sell and trade on their own. So for legality, for assets and so forth, it all has to be in the man's name.
Drag woman back to cave because Mrs. Conley now.
Zog-like. You. Yeah. So.
The name change is not a deal breaker.
The lying is.
Right. The saying she's going to do it and obviously not meaning to do it, that's the problem.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I feel good about the answers that we have provided for all of those that have written in. I think we've done a great job. Of course, those...
Now that the poor 14-year-old is going to run away from home.
Sorry about your Mexican vacation getting shot in the foot, but I think it's all for the best. If you would like to contribute a question that you want us to answer, by all means, send it to seth.mila@wsau.com.
We here at the College Board are pleased to announce that we've revamped the Scholastic Aptitude Test, also known as the SATs, to make more good the smart learning knowledge of our education stuff. And that's why if you be someone who can't not write good, that's okay. We'll still give you credit for spelling your name rightly. And you don't really need not to know math good neither, because your phone probably has a calculator on it per se. And if you're a fat, lazy f*** who doesn't even want to show up to take the test at all, you can hire a day laborer to do it for you.
Ah, gracias, señor.
By us making the SATs more accessible to larger population of people, so to speak, that will make higher education more accessible to create a brighter, gregarious future for not only our children, but our other children as well. Because knowing things is hard.
Breaking news, the latest weather, around the clock on WSAU.